beard, smiled down at him. There was fresh blood smeared on his cracked yellow teeth.
Leave the eye, so he can watch. We'll eat that for dessert.
Ryan twisted against his bonds, throwing his head back in a vain attempt to locate the speaker. He did see that the room was smoky and low-ceilinged, with heavy wooden crossbeams. A fire raged in the stone hearth a few feet away. Another look around told Ryan he was lying on a crude wooden table and that he had no clothes on. Beneath his bare back, the tabletop was sticky and wet. It smelled of blood and worse.
The trick, you see, is to keep him alive and conscious right up until the end. Right up to the moment when one of us takes a big bite out of his beating heart.
A murmur of approval stirred in the hazy, overheated room. There were others along the walls, many others just out of sight. Ryan strained harder against the ropes that held his wrists and ankles, and felt them give a little. At the edge of his vision, tankards of ale were being passed around. Refreshments for the party. Then, a shadowy form leaned over him. The face was upside down, the silhouetted hair wild and stiff with grease.
I claim the honor of the first taste.
Breath from the grave gusted over Ryan's face, and something slimy and warm splattered his neck, drool swaying from the upside down face. Clenched in a grubby fist, a long knife reflected dancing firelight. Its blade had been sharpened so many times that it had been reduced to a mere sliver of steel.
A bit of thigh for starters. A juicy medallion just here, I think.
Ryan bucked against the weight that held him down. He couldn't escape the knife. He felt a searing pain inside his left leg, but refused to give his torturers the pleasure of hearing him cry out, biting his tongue to keep from screaming. Above him, the leader of the pack chewed noisily. And with obvious relish.
A most agreeable flavor. Just a hint of gaminess that is not at all unpleasant.
Ryan didn't want to die, spread-eagled on some canny's buffet table. Summoning all his remaining strength, he threw himself against his captors. It accomplished nothing. They waited until he had exhausted himself before they began to feed. Securely pinned to the tabletop, Ryan felt pressure and pain from all sides as here and there knife points trimmed away select, bite-sized pieces of him. Even so, he wouldn't surrender his dignity. He chomped down on his tongue until his mouth filled with blood. Over the guttural, lip-smacking sounds of Canny's feasting, he could hear the party music start up. Fiddle and squeeze box played a sprightly jig. As the blades dug deeper and deeper into him, steel scraping bone, Ryan bit off his tongue. After that, there was no way to hold in the agony. He arched his spine, opened his throat, and spewing blood mist to the ceiling, screamed for all he was worth. The Canny's began to clap and stomp their boots. The ghastly duet had become a trio. Ryan came to on his hands and knees, retching. Jump dream, he thought, as a gray-on-gray world spun madly around him. The same thing happened every time they used the Matrans gateways, the bad nightmares and horrible nausea. Only this time, it was worse. It felt as if he were vomiting from the soles of his boots. Just when he thought the wrenching spasms were over, the odor of melted plastic made him dry-heave some more. When he could open his eye, he looked up from the stinking puddle he'd made on the polished concrete floor. A green bulb in a metal cage overhead blinked on and off. It was the brightest light source in the chamber. The woman Nara stood beside him. Inside her black armor, his keeper showed no signs of post-jump distress.
Are you all right?
When he nodded that he was, she used a soft towel to wipe at his mouth. Only then did Ryan realize he was drenched. Not with puke, not with sweat, but with clear oil. It felt like machine oil. It matted his dark curling hair, soaked through his clothes onto his skin. The corded muscles of his bare arms gleamed, as did his chest, at the gap at the throat of his shirt.
Oh. Fire blast.
He tried to take the towel from her.
No, let me wipe it off.
He gave Nora a questioning look.
I want to.
Ryan let the woman mop his face and arms. There was nothing she could do about the rest.
Where did we jump to?
Ryan rose to his feet.
You'll find out in a minute. But before we go any further and things start to get crazy, I want you to know that I'd like to be your friend. You're going to need someone you can count on from here on out. I'm afraid what you've gone through so far is the easy part.
The nature of her request took Ryan by surprise. He didn't know whether to be irritated or amused.
Either I'm your hostage or I'm not. Which is it?
That was in Shadow World. Water under the bridge. Now that we're here on Earth, things are different. Much different.
You're not making any sense.
I'm called Nara. What's your name?
Ryan. Ryan Carter.
Wait here, Ryan. Try to relax if you can. And don't worry, I'll be back.
She walked away from him, heading for a metal catwalk that bridged a gap in the floor's concrete. On the far side of the bridge, Ryan saw a bulkhead door with a small window in it. Behind the window, there was more light, and a press of human faces fighting for a look inside. Nara opened this door and slipped through it. When the door closed, the faces returned to the window and resumed their wide-eyed gawking. Ryan pointedly turned his back to them and looked around. Definitely not a gateway, he decided. There was no armaglass, and the distant gray walls were covered with gray pipes, hoses, and conduit. Because the huge room was too wide for its height, there was a crushing oppressiveness to it. He stood in the center of a large rectangle painted on the concrete floor. A matching rectangle was in the flat concrete ceiling just overhead, and it made Ryan feel as if he were about to be smashed flat. He walked to the foot of the catwalk, where the concrete ended, and looked down. The chasm he faced was hundreds of feet deep, maybe even thousands. Ryan couldn't see the bottom. The concrete pad on which he stood was poised above it, a towering platform. He could see that the man-made canyon's walls were covered with more pipe, hose, and conduit. Miles and miles of the stuff. Standing there, looking over the abyss, Ryan had a momentary lapse of confidence. In his heart, he sensed the truth, that home and loved ones were impossibly far away, a distance beyond his comprehension. Perhaps he would never see them again. Perhaps there was no way home. Perhaps he was forever lost. He tasted his own rising panic, as bitter as gall at the back of his throat. With sheer willpower, he forced the torrent of negative thoughts from his mind. He had taken many hazardous journeys to unknown places. He had countless times allowed himself to be deconstructed and hurled forward at the whim of century-old machines. He had faced dangers larger than life, and no matter where he'd ended up or what enemies awaited, he had always managed to battle through them and find his way home. Ryan vowed to take this strange twist of fate not as tragedy, but as challenge. The bulkhead door reopened behind him. When he turned, he saw a jam of people in white lab coats on the other side. He recognized Nara in the front of the pack. No longer in black armor, like the others, she wore the uniform of a scientist. However, she wore the military insignia of captain on her breast pocket, just above a badge wearing the word 5. Nara didn't step forward. A tall, lanky white coat walked through the door instead, and advanced onto the catwalk. He had a high forehead, thick brown hair, and very long legs.
Mr. Calder, my name is Dr. Huff. I'm in charge here. I want to make your adjustment to these new circumstances as quick and painless as possible.
I'm all for that.
Huff waved at the door, and it was pulled closed and sealed. They were alone.
I will take a moment and answer some of your questions now.
Where is this place?
You started off with a good one. No simple answer there, I'm afraid. Do you have any scientific training?
I thought I was going to be the one asking the questions.
I have to know how much to explain, where to start.
I know a little of pre-dark science.
By pre-dark, do you mean before the apocalypse on your world?
Ryan nodded.
Ever hear of something called the totality concept?
Ryan considered whether to admit his knowledge and decided that it didn't matter.
I've heard of it.
The time trolling mission?
Yes.
That's excellent. Then what I'm about to tell you won't come out of the